The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that silently spreads, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Okay, welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your regular Wednesday host, William Repillum. Tonight is Wednesday, April 19th, 2023. Welcome to the show. Tonight I have a special returning guest with me. I'm very excited to have him with me tonight, Jim Rizzoli. Jim is a Holocaust revisionist historian, one of the best out there. He's got a great BitChute channel, about 6,000 followers. Go to his BitChute channel, Jim Rizzoli, and sign up and subscribe. He also does a show with Diane King and Diana Ploss and his brother Joe called The Four Musketeers. Is that right, Jim?
It's called Hoax Busters.
I don't know where I got Four Musketeers.
Well, we used to call it The Four Amigos.
Oh, right. Okay.
So I can understand why you called it that.
Okay. Yep. So, real quick, everybody, please go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash the donate button and donate $4,000. If you can't do that, then donate, you know, three or two or one or 500 or 100 or 20 bucks or 10 or five or just $1. $1 is fantastic. You got $1 to donate. You can go and donate. That would be fantastic. Help keep the station going. We don't get paid any of that. That's not for us. That's just to help keep the station, keep the lights on, and keep the mixer board working. We had mixer board issues for a while there. And if you donate 50 bucks or more, Mike, are you still giving away a T-shirt for 50 bucks or more? An RBN T-shirt, Mike? Well, I think you do. Mike's not say anything, but he probably just stepped away for
For anybody that donates anything, we'd be happy to give whatever we have. We have bumper stickers, you know, instead of the usual $4.99 online for these people. Yes, we'll give you 5 to 10 bumper stickers. We're a little low on the full bumper stickers right now, but you know, 20 bucks, be happy to do that. We're trying to get some new business cards. We have a few if anybody'd like some of those. And of course, the T-shirts. We're trying to offer them. If people, you know, 50 bucks will get you a T-shirt. If you want to give a little more, even just $75, we'll be happy to send you a couple. And we also have some misprints. If you just would like a fine T-shirt with a bit of a misprint, we'd be happy to send you an extra one. And I think we have all sizes right now. So yeah, just unfortunately, that's how it goes in the T-shirt business, folks. When you got your own shirts printed, sometimes it doesn't work quite right. But yeah, just call in and let us know what you'd like. And I think we're still running the book. We're doing the book drawing. It's a Michael Collins Piper. What do we got? Final Judgment.
Final Judgment.
Yeah, about, Final Judgment. It's literally, it's the Bible. Yeah, it's like $100 online. You literally can't even find it for less than $100, and we have several copies in mint condition. We're trying to offer one right now or anybody that would like to donate $100, we'll put you in a drawing. And terms are subject to change, but they've only changed for the better. So far, I don't even know if we have anybody that even said they wanted the book. So,
you got a good chance of winning.
Heads up. Yeah, heads up. If you want to donate $100, you may just be the only person in the drawing. So, we'll see.
Well, there you go, folks. So, and that it's the Bible of for the Kennedy assassination. You're not going to find any better book on it out there. So, yeah, anyway. All right. So, Jim, welcome to the show. And I'm really glad to have you back again. Well, we're going to, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Awesome. In Texas. I'm in Texas now, so.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just hanging out here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay. Yeah, how's the weather in Texas right now?
Oh, no, beautiful. In the 70s, 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not too bad. I know Texas can get pretty hot.
Yeah, in the summer. I've never been here in the summer, so I'm sure it gets into around the hundreds.
Yeah. Well, so the reason I the trigger reason why I said, hey, let me get in touch with Jim and have him on my show again was like we came across on BitChute your video about Benjamin Franks.
Yeah.
Ben, let me try to recite. I watched the video again. He was a trial lawyer who presided over the Nuremberg trials. He was a Jew, and he he actually was part and parcel, an accomplice, I guess you could say. He didn't commit the murder, but he was present while some other Jews murdered an SS officer in cold blood in a torturous kind of way. And then they put him and they burned him alive in an oven. Sort of a revenge killing for a Holocaust that never happened to their people, of course, you know. Anyway, let me, so that was just a really interesting video because, you know, if you look up this Benjamin Franks guy, it's Benjamin Franczz. The only two videos even on BitChute are Jim Rizzoli's. Jim did one just recently, and then he did one in September. That's the only thing I found. Maybe they just weren't spelled differently or something. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some on Rumble. I don't know. I did find I had a hard time playing. What was the video? It was some other. Oh, it was Jude Seuss, this movie from 1940, which I just asked you about. That I just watched that movie this week. Jude Seuss is about it's J-U-D, and then another word S-U-S-S, and it's basically about the town of Stuttgart, and there was the Duke that his dad passed away, and then he inherited the authority of the town, and they also had a cabinet. And the Duke got corrupted by a Jew that pried his way into the town. It's the same thing that happens everywhere. The Jew gets in and pries their way into the town and corrupts it, corrupts the highest levers of power. It's such a fantastic example of what the Jews do when they when they're allowed back to go into your towns in Europe. So this was supposed to take place. I don't remember what it was, the Duke. So it was probably sometime the 1700s, I think.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But it's really good. It's really, really good. I think Paul in California actually sent it to me at first. But it was on BitChute, and I couldn't get it to play. So I went over to Rumble, and I looked for it, and I found it over there. So Rumble's got some good content too. I know they censor things, from what I understand. They as well. Just can't seem to keep the Jews from censoring everything. It's yeah. Really frustrating, you know. And they're the ones doing it. So let's start calling them out. Well, So this Benjamin Ferenczi, and you did an expose, and you went over it. I almost want to just play your video. I mean, I think it's about 20 minutes long, but maybe I won't do that. That's let's just talk about it a little bit. What did you see where I can? I mean, they I just watched it, so it's fresh in my mind. So yeah, basically. He presided over the Nuremberg trials. He was allowed to, it was such a conflict of interest because he was an accomplice to this murder of this SS officer. And then he was the one that was a judge in this trial. Is that right?
Well, I don't know if he was one of the main judges, but I think he was like a main presenter of information.
Prosecutor.
Yeah, prosecutor. He brought information to them. And, you know, he pretty much just lied his way through the whole thing, you know, presenting all this bullshit stuff. And, you know, it got, 11, 12 people convicted, and they hung him, you know.
Yeah, and one of the things that you were bringing up was the fact that the Nuremberg trial wasn't about convicting guilty people. It was about killing innocent witnesses.
Yes.
And... yeah, the German high command that were presiding over the camps were innocent witnesses. They weren't murderers. They were innocent witnesses that were being that knew what really was going on, and the Jews had to murder them, kill them as soon as possible, and then they make it look like, oh, it's just so disgusting. I mean, the excerpts that they do, they always put in that violin music, that epic violin. Woo, 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 woo.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, they manipulate your emotions with their orchestra music that they put over the top. And then they like, and then they project exactly what they do to us onto us and say, we're did that to them. I mean, it's so disgusting. It's just the sickest, like, most depraved, psychopathic thing you could ever do. And people don't even think something like that even exists. People don't think that, I mean, you understand, people understand being somebody framing somebody for a crime, but not only did they frame somebody for a crime, they framed the victim for the crime.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me kick it over to you.
Well, the whole Nuremberg trial, it was just vengeance. That's all it was. It's vengeance, and they had to pretty much get rid of the eyewitness, like you said. All the people. Now remember, a lot of these people that were in the trial. This was the first trial they had. It was a military trial, understand? And they're trying civilians. Some of them were military men, but most of them probably were civilians. You don't bring civilians into a military trial. Okay, that's not how it's done. If you're going to bring a civilian in, you bring him to a regular court system. But again, this was a military tribunal, and they felt that nobody was going to question him, and nobody questioned him. And they put these guys on trial illegally. Okay, that's what they did. And then, you know, they lied about him. They brought in false witnesses and a lot of false affidavits. And, you know, anybody could say anything about these guys, and they couldn't make a defense. They had no defense, all right? And that was it. It was a slam dunk against them. They found them guilty. And within a short period of time, they have them. Again, you know, you get rid of the witnesses. Dead men tell no tales. And they're gone. And usually when people get a death sentence, usually, in the United States anyway, what happens is you can appeal it, all right? And, you know, you'll see guys on death row in the United States. Let's say they got a death sentence. It could take 10 years for them to execute them. 10 years because of all the appeals. But these guys were put to death within, you know, a short period of time. So that just shows you there's something wrong with this picture. They had no right to do that. But they did it because, again, you know, the victors run the show there. And they did whatever they could do. And everything they did was illegal. It was just a sham trial, you know, and a lot of good men went to their death. There's nothing they could do about it. And nobody came to the salvation. Nobody helped them. And they were hung. 12 of them at that time were hung.
Right. Right. So the little bit of the confusing thing is what about you said the civilians were brought into the Nuremberg trial? It wasn't just the officers?
No, they were, the a lot of the guys that were there were just worked for the government. They worked for the government. I mean, that's what they did. They weren't military men. Some of them would, you know, just plain old men. You know, they had a job, did this or do that. You know, whatever their job was in the government.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But you're the 11 or 12 that you're talking about are actual the high command, right?
Yeah, they would have had high positions, you know. But here's the clincher. Okay, what were they tried for? That's the thing. See, what were they on trial for? All right, and believe it or not, this is what they would try them for, or one of the charges anyway, for waging an aggressive war. And it's like, yeah, aren't all wars aggressive? If you want to win it, don't you have to be aggressive? You know what I mean? It's kind of
it's like the term assault weapon.
Yeah,
right. It's just a completely unnecessary. You mentioned that aggressive war, and you brought up that the aggressors who were the real aggressors, the people who firebomb Dresden and 150 other German towns that weren't even strategic military targets. They were just civilians. And I feel like I always talk about this in every show, but this is part of the Morgenthau plan. This is part of the what was in Theodor Kaufmann's book, Germany Must Perish. This is part of what, you know, this is, I mean, obviously, the campaign, the air campaign that took place, which was the United States Air Force, the USAF, and the Royal Air Force, the RAF. They, I don't know who went first, the Royal Air Force, and then followed behind them, was the same bombing on the same areas from the other, a little out of breath because I had to run downstairs for something, but from, you know, it was one or the other, and they just, three or four bombing sequences against, say, Dresden and all the other, and all these other towns. And it was just a genocide of the German people,
right?
Just of the innocent German people. And these people have the nerve to say that there was a war crime by the Germans committed against them. And they just continue to lie about this over and over and over. And they just beat us over the head. They abuse us. They abuse us with this fake propaganda. I don't know why more people aren't more disgusted with it and aren't screaming at the top of their lungs about it.
Well, where are they going to hear about it? They're not going to hear about it from anywhere. No one's going to tell them about it. And, you know, you try doing Google searches to find out. They never give you the troops' information. They always put their information first.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, I hope more people are just out there in a grassroots level talking to people on the street about it. You know, just
I just don't know how they're going to do it. You know what I mean?
Well, we don't have a bullhorn like the Jews have, which is the entire media.
Right.
All we have is word of mouth. But if there's more and more and more of us that are incensed with this injustice, this unbelievably hard to quantify injustice that is so sick and so psychopathic that it has to be exposed, and it's going to be. I hope I'm influencing people out there. I guess I'm inciting hatred because I'm telling the truth about the people that have been. So just imagine the criminal is the one who gets to be the judge.
Yeah.
And the criminal gets to kill the witnesses. So essentially we're being witnesses here. And we're telling the truth, and we're doing our duty to God.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult.
And so, you know, they're gonna invert the truth about that. Okay, we're up against the break, folks. We'll be right back with I got Jim Rizzoli, and we're gonna continue to talk about various things.
Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Well, the magic's fun.
Folks, we're back. I got Jim Rizzoli. This is William Rapillum, your regular Wednesday host, and we were talking about Benjamin Forex, the trial lawyer on the Nuremberg trials, who was an accomplice to a murder of an SS officer, where they tortured him and then they put him in an oven and burned him alive. Yeah, and then he was put on the Nuremberg trial kangaroo court in order to kill all the witnesses. All the German witnesses were the officers. Can you imagine that kind of injustice being done to you? I mean, you think about personal injustices that get done to you in your life and how terrible they feel. Imagine living through something like that. Well, I'll tell you what. The Jews would like to make us live through something like that again because of the fact that we're telling the truth about what they're doing. You know, disgusting. This has to be rectified. This injustice must. As Barbara Spector says, the genocide of Europeans through mass immigration must take place. Well, guess what must take place, Barbara Spector? your tribe being exposed for the evil that it's done to the world and what it continues to do and won't stop doing. And humanity must stop it. It must take place. But the Jews are exposed. Anyway, okay, let me kick it over to you. I was going to play. We got 5 minutes. I have a 2-minute clip I wanted to play of Israel. It's called Israel Takes Palestinians' Land. Israeli video whitewashes Israeli demolition of Palestinian home in Sheikh Jarrah. Mike, can we just – well, before I do that, Jim, let me kick it to you real quick if you got any pending comments, anything pressing you wanted to say.
No, I'm just going with the flow.
All right. Mike, can we just roll that video? It's 2 minutes long. It's from If Americans Knew. If Americans Knew.
Israel is widely circulating this video showing a gentle Israeli police officer escorting an old woman past a pile of rubble. This is what they left out. The pile of rubble had been her home. Israeli forces had just demolished it. The Salhiya family has lived in Sheikh Jarrah since 1948, when they were expelled from their village during Israel's founding war of ethnic cleansing. Sheikh Jarrah is in Palestinian East Jerusalem. Israel decided to expel the Salhiyas, but the family wouldn't leave, refusing to be dispossessed once more. About 3 a.m. Wednesday, Israeli police raided their home, cut electricity, fired tear gas, violently arrested and beat family members, threw their belongings out, and began demolishing their home. That police woman in the Israeli video clip was part of an operation that left two Palestinian families homeless. Israel says the land is needed to build a special needs school, but Hagit Ofran, director of the Israeli rights group Peace Now, questions the claim.
It's good to build a school, but why to take out families from their home and not use another public land that you already confiscated in the past and gave it to settlers?
Police fired rubber bullets into the crowd of journalists and supporters and prevented ambulances from entering the area. Dozens of people were detained. Today, virtually nothing is left. All residents of the two homes were evicted without compensation. Israel also destroyed the family business, so they have no income. Israel annexed East Jerusalem after the 1967 war, although most of the world does not recognize the move. About 200,000 Israeli Jewish settlers have taken over Palestinian land and moved into East Jerusalem. The Palestinians of Sheikh Jarrah are counting on the international community to hold Israel accountable for this crime, especially Americans, whose politicians give Israel over $10 million per day.
Yeah, there you go. It just goes unnoticed and unpunished. Why? Why does this group of people not have, get to commit crimes like this and go as unpunished and nobody, it's they're above the law. According to their Talmud, they don't adhere to our law. It happens in the financial sector, too. In 2008, with the HSBC Bank, we're supposed to be prosecuted. The American justice system came out saying, we're prosecuting. And then they suddenly change their mind and say, well, that'll just damage the whole international financial system too much. So never mind. And that's the same old thing that always happens. Happens in the banking system. It happens to the Palestinians. They're ground zero for Jewish terrorism. And now it's spreading out other places. Now it's Ukraine. They use NATO to encircle the countries. And all right, we're up against the break. When we come back, I'll get Jim's comments. And we'll be right back, folks.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. because you can handle the truth.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
We're back, folks. Steve Ray Vaughan died in 1990 in a helicopter crash. He had gotten clean. He was a fantastic blues guitar player. He was only 36 years old when he died. What a tragic loss. Anyway, yeah, he had some great music. Taxman. I don't know why I didn't know. He had some great songs. Anyway, we're back. And so, Jim, I wanted to get your comments on the If Americans Knew video about the Israelis just turning the Palestinians' homes into rubble and then creating a propaganda video to make it look like they're helping the poor Palestinian lady with a Jewish officer helping her get out of the house that they just turned to rubble. Anyway, did you have anything you wanted to add there?
Well, it's all, like you say, it's all propaganda, and the mainstream media is not going to show you what's really going on there. And I think since 2000, about 11,000 Palestinians have been killed. All right? That's a lot of people, and nobody knows about it. I mean, you know, they want you to think it's the Palestinians are the problem, and the Jews, you know, they're the victim. You know, they're the victims. Oh, we're, you know, one of the Palestinian kids, you know, hit me with a slingshot. You know what I'm saying? This, you know, and they go in there with a big bomb and blow the whole place up. You know what I mean? It's just amazing. You know, the Palestinians, well, I think what bothers me about the Palestinians is I don't understand why the other Palestinian countries, okay, I'm talking about, you know, Abu Dhabi and, you know, all those other really billion-dollar countries. Why they don't help these people out? That bothers me. It's like they're Palestinian too, right? I mean, they're Muslim, I would think, if these people are Muslim in Palestine. You would think that they would be doing something there. That's why I question the whole narrative here, what's going on and who's behind who. Because to me, it seems like the brothers of these people don't give two shits about anything. All right? And that bothers me. Because these people, if you look at, you know, those other countries now, like Abu Dhabi and Bahrain and, you know, all over there, okay? I mean, these are with the oil-rich countries, okay? Tremendously oil-rich. I mean, you're talking about palaces. You want to see palaces, go over there and see the palaces these guys built for themselves. I mean, billion-dollar palaces, okay? And yet the people over there in Palestine are suffering, and they don't give them a dime. I don't understand why that's happened. I can never figure that out.
I think, you know, I'm just speculating because I don't know what with all of these satellite countries that are sort of around Saudi Arabia. But from what I understand, Saudi Arabia is kind of the larger example that is like this. They're really tied in with the Jews. If you ask somebody like Lorraine Day, she'll tell you these Wahhabists are actually Jews. They're actually Jews or crypto Jews, not really Arabs. You know, another thing that another factor may possibly is some of these are expatriates of Palestine, and they're probably they've suffered the terror there, and they know there's maybe not much they can do. Okay, that's probably the best case scenario. I would imagine that Israel probably checks all the mail that goes into Palestine. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, and they, or maybe some of it, and they monitor the bank accounts or whatever. I mean, they won't let help get through. It's kind of like what maybe, you know, and I'm like, again, I'm speculating, okay? This isn't what I know to be happening. But it's kind of like how when Eisenhower when he put the Germans in the death camps, when he put the German soldiers in the Rhine-Meadow death camps and left them to exposure to just rot and die under the hot summer of 45 sun, summer of 1945, they shot at the German women that came up to try to feed and give food to these suffering German soldiers that were suffering under the Jewish tyranny wrought on by Eisenhower, the war criminal, who classified these German soldiers as disarmed enemy combatants rather than POWs, so that they could simply, by a use of semantics, circumvent the Geneva Convention on Treatment of Prisoners of War. And by the way, the Germans treated the prisoners of war, the American prisoners of war, the English prisoners of war, and all the other prisoners of war, according to the Geneva Convention. The Germans were upright, upstanding people, some of the most upright, upstanding people in the world. So this injustice from the Germans was beyond belief. And now what's being done to the Palestinians, is just another example of that. What, you know, just Jewish justice, which is Jewish injustice and terrorism. We have one terrorism problem in the world, and that's the Jewish state.
Yeah.
All right. Problem. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
Well, no, I mean, it's I just don't understand, you know, why there's not more Muslim people, if they're Muslim now. Again, I'm not saying all the Palestinians are Muslim. They might not be. They could be. Maybe could be Christian, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But you think somebody would be backing them up, or going to bat for them? And apparently, the Jew media is just completely, you know, blacking it out. You know, not letting anybody see anything that's going on there.
Well, you bring up such a fantastic point. It was a point I forgot to bring up too. And why isn't the International Criminal Court going after these Jews that are doing this? I wonder why. Instead, the International Criminal Court has an article recently. Okay, we know about this a couple of weeks ago, where they say Russia International Criminal Court issues arrest warrant for Putin. So they're going to go after Putin and just follow along with their politics. You know, this is a war that the Jews like Victoria Nuland and the U.S. State Department caused. Putin didn't cause this war. He was goaded to defend his people in the eastern Ukrainian region, the Donbass region, that was a war against them. They were being attacked with bombs. They were being attacked with, you know, I don't know a lot of the details about it, but I don't know. It's disgusting. I mean, it's just over and over and over again. The Jews invert the truth. They commit war crimes. They commit. The Jews are the hate crime people. But it's like they use this term hate crime to shut everybody up and keep everybody to keep their mouth shut. You know, and a hate crime is what we're doing. We're speaking, telling the truth. That's right. Anyway, did you have any comment about Ukraine that you wanted to chime in on? I could go ahead and read this UN. It's kind of old news, but I won't read too much of it. But
well, I don't really get too much into Ukraine because it's kind of one of these obvious things that's going on over there, and I don't know why people don't see it. It's just the Jews are trying to make Israel Ukraine. That's what, you know, they're trying to bring Israel over to Ukraine. They want another homeland, more or less. But the problem is, most of the people in the Ukraine, as far as I understand, are Russian. Okay, so you know, Putin's just trying to help, I guess, his people out. You know, it's just a way to suck money out of the United States. That's all that's going on here. They're taking billions of dollars away from us, which I don't even know why the United States is giving any money, but. How the hell can that happen without there being a war? I mean, there's no declared war, and you know, we have nothing to do with it anyway. But the United States illegally is sure sending a lot of money over there when that money can be used here to help the people in the United States. It's just hard to believe they can get away with this.
Well, yeah, and not to mention it's also fake money. It's just money they pull out of thin air, but then they're going to, you know, tax us on it. They're definitely going to tax the interest on the debt that they're creating with that money that we don't even have. They just print this money out of thin air. We're already $32 trillion in debt. What is it now? It's exponentially keeps increasing. But you're exactly right. This war is the Jews against Russia to exterminate the Ukrainians. As many Russians and Ukrainians as possible. This is like a Jewish Purim festival of extermination of the Ukrainians and the Russians, because they'll just fight and keep exterminating one another. And so it's the Jews against really just all of that whole area. And you're exactly right. It's just the Greater Israel Project.
Yep.
So that's really important to know that. The Jews completely control the United States now. It's so, it's just, you know, they've launched themselves into power using the United States. And, you know, before when we were in Europe, they were able to, that movie Jud Seuss shows how the town was eventually able to expel the Jews from the town and get them out, because if they didn't do that, the town was going to die, because the Jews were ruining and just killing the people. You know, I mean, they just had no choice. So now you have a whole society of people that are fast asleep. Jews are at work murdering, killing with their vaccines, sending us off to war, and committing their heinous Jewish crimes against humanity, just without any, with reckless abandon and without any people just being completely asleep about it. Right. So it's the worst it's ever been. Worst it's ever been. All right, so maybe we should move on to something else. Next thing, we got, it's 512-248-8252 is a number if you want to call in. 512-248-8252. Feel free to call in and talk to us if you want. meanwhile, I am going to pull up the next thing that I wanted to discuss. The leaked documents article. I think I'm going to read that one. Yeah, I'm going to read this one on the leaked documents, because we got to talk about the leaked documents, right? Okay, we've been talking about that since April 14th. This is an article from April 14th, 5 days ago, in Blacklisted News. More doubts about the leaked briefing slides. When media reported on the first batch of leaked Pentagon briefing slides, they also published pictures of the originals. Then came a second round, which conveniently was more about bashing Russia than on the releases itself. Those leaks were labeled as new or from a previously unknown source. Among those stories were, no Russia-Ukraine peace talks expected this year, U.S. leak shows, in Washington Post. The grinding war... It's just so funny, though, because if you go on regular news media, you just see article after article about how Russia is Putin's fighting an unwinnable war in Ukraine, and so now he's trying to figure out how to get out of it. Or Putin's going to die of cancer, or Putin's cabinet hates him, and they've just been betrayed. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's a joke. It's just such a joke. The grinding war between Ukraine and Russia is expected to bleed into 2024, with neither side securing victory, yet both refusing to negotiate an end to the conflict, according to a Defense Intelligence Agency assessment that is among the highly sensitive U.S. government materials leaked online and obtained by the Washington Post. Negotiations to end the conflict are unlikely during 2023 in all considered scenarios, says the document, which has not been disclosed previously. The statement also will result in Ukraine enacting the full mobilization of its remaining eligible population, the document predicts, sending more young men to the front lines. Leaked U.S. intel. Oh, did you want to say something? Jim?
No, I'm listening.
Okay. All right. Leaked U.S. intel, Russian operatives claimed new ties with the UAE, Associated Press. U.S. spies caught Russian intelligence officers boasting that they had convinced the oil-rich United Arab Emirates to work together against the U.S. and U.K. intelligence agencies, according to a purported American document posted online as part of a major U.S. intelligence breach. The document viewed by the AP includes an item citing research from March 9th with the title Russia-UAE Intelligence Relationship Deepening. U.S. officials declined to confirm the document's authenticity, which the AP could not independently do. However, it resembled other documents released as part of the recent leak. All right. Anybody fallen asleep yet? Kind of getting bored of reading this article, but I'm going to read a little bit more. The slides I have seen so far are from late February and the first days of March. A March 9th document is new. New leaked documents show broad infighting among Russian officials. Okay. The additional documents, which did not surface in a 53-page set that came to the wide public attention online last week, paint a picture of the Russian government feuding over the count of the dead and wounded in the Ukraine war, with the domestic intelligence agency accusing the military of obscuring the scale of casualties that Russia has suffered. The new batch, which contains 27 pages, reinforces how deeply American spy agencies have penetrated nearly every aspect of the Russian intelligence apparatus and military command structure. Mike, are we up against a break? Sometimes I don't hear the music coming, but I'll be cognizant of that. Are we skipping it? If we don't skip it, then I don't have to keep reading this boring article. Yeah, let's do that. I'm going to just drop this article because it's boring me to death. So you guys can go find it and read it for yourselves. More doubts about the leaked briefing slides. So I don't want to waste your time and put you to sleep like what's happening to me. All right, so let me see who we got calling in right now. But Jim, did you want to comment on any of what I was just reading?
No, that doesn't really kind of interest me about all that. That's all to me, all bullshit what they're all doing there, you know.
Yeah, didn't excite me at all. It was just a bunch of like minutia. All right, so we got John in Colorado and Patrick in Texas, and we got John first. So John, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? You got a question for Jim Rizzoli?
Yeah, hi, William and Jim. It's a good show. Let me just back up, William. You're first talking about with Germany after the war, there was this case, and this was written by Thomas Goodrich in one of his books about the rape of the German women and the women and children by Russian and that. But they also talked about it was in Stuttgart, Germany, where there was a big case of rape among the women, where the France had their colonial colored troops from Africa come in and do that, and also the American black servicemen, some of them did the same thing, and that's never, other than what we read from that, you never read anything in the history books about that happened to them, and all the destruction and the death they did to the women and children in Germany, that was a big thing. And I read all this going back to Israel and all this. I read it, get all my information for years from the American Free Press and the Barnes Review magazine about all this kind of stuff. And that goes on. And like you said, there's all kinds of incident, but nobody, you know, it's not written. The media leaves it out. Israel can't be blamed. A quick thing about, they talk about all these survivors from Israel. You see all these YouTube stories and all that, all these things. Well, if everybody was killed by the Germans, well, how come all these people survived? They never talk about that. And even people at the end in the camps, they had big disease because of lack of food and all that, and because the Americans and British bombed all the railroads, they couldn't get anything into the camps to keep these people alive. And how did these people survive? They show pictures at the end of these liberating all these camps, all these people, you know, they should have been, they said should have been killed in the gas chambers. No, they're all alive, and you know they look emaciated, but a lot of these people look fine, and then they survive and go to Israel and all that, and they're one of the, you know, I don't know how many of those today are still survive. You know, you get all their kids and families in that to do that, and they're taking this out on the Palestinians, and like I said, they're not doing a thing about it, and they get away with murder and, like I said, destruction of homes and all that, and so what's your opinion on all that?
Well, I can say something. It's a good point you brought up. See, they always talk about the 6 million, okay? But nobody talks about who survived, because 98% of the Jews survived, okay? I mean, that's a big thing. So you're talking millions of them survived. So why? Why aren't they talking about it? Because if they talk about the survivors, then they got a problem here, because all of them are supposed to be dead. Right? They want you to believe that most of the Jews died in the camps. No, it's just the opposite. Most of the Jews survived in the camps. I would venture to say you don't have more than a couple hundred thousand Jews now that might have died during this whole time period. I mean, I'm talking died by sickness or disease or whatever. So when you think about, you know, all the people that were there, that's peanuts compared to everybody that was over there, you know. So the survival is what they should be talking about. But again, they won't touch that because now you're getting into something that's going to contradict the 6 million. Because you can't have both. You can't have 6 million dead, and you can't have 4 or 5 million survivors. I mean, it doesn't make sense. No sense about that. So they got a problem. That's why they don't talk about it. They don't want you to talk about it because you're going to see, yeah, there was a problem with that, you know?
Yeah, that's right, Jim.
And they start asking for reparations. Well, they said, well, of course, if all these people die, well, how come these supposed people all filed for reparations after the war and later on when Israel, they formed the State of Israel? So, you know, yeah, right. If they die, how can they do that? No.
Here's the problem with the reparations, though, okay? Because they're kind of stuck with the reparations because it's either a whole bunch of people, millions of people survived, right? Because, you know, the 4.5 people, 5 million people have signed up to collect reparations, or there's a lot of people lying about those reparations and they said they were there and they weren't there. You see, they're stuck because there's 4.5 to 5 million people that are supposedly collecting reparations. It's impossible. If you're telling me 6 million died, then how the hell can 5 million? That means 5 million survived. It's impossible. Can't have both.
My suspicion,
like I said, if you don't,
because this is a question. So why? Because I think a lot of people add, the normies will ask this question. That is, how could so many Jews lie about the same thing and say the same thing? They saw the same thing and being lying about it.
Well, they were coached.
Mm-hmm. So that makes me think that. Where are they coached? Has anybody infiltrated their synagogues and gone and listened to a sermon in a synagogue? That's where I suspect it happens. Go ahead, Jim.
I'll tell you what happened, okay? But remember, the war ends. All the people are in Germany, okay? Now they're going to be dispersed. Where the hell are they going to go? Either Israel, United States mostly, or whatever other country. But before they're dispersed, I'm sure, this is just my opinion because I can't really prove it, and I don't think they're going to admit it. I'm sure they were interrogated to say XYZ happened, okay? Because remember, they're going to be getting money out of this. So technically, the reparations money is their hush money, okay? In other words, they're going to tell these people, well, look it, you better say it this way because if you don't, you're not going to get your money out of this. So obviously, the people are going to say nothing, okay? And another thing, when they came over to the United States back in the 50s and 60s, all right, well, what happened, they started, you know, people started writing their books about this nonsense, and they just started reading all the books themselves to hear all the nonsense.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Jim, hold that thought. We're at the end of the first hour. We'll be right back, folks, with the National Interval Report in the second hour.
To me. Oh, oh, I despise causing me destruction.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN.
free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.